thank you, Lord, to come tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And you may be seated. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 16. I'll begin reading tonight in the 13th verse. In the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Notice, right in the middle of this, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keep his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Now there's some things in the Bible that men know about that never read it. There's not a human being that lives on this earth, or at least lives in America, though he may never have read the Bible, he is aware that there is a sin in this Bible that's unpardonable. Everybody seems to be aware that there's a sin that's unpardonable and that there's going to someplace, sometime, somewhere, be a war called Armageddon. Now, it seems strange that there should be so many varied and various views as regarding Armageddon among the true believers of God. There are those that believe the terrible conflict in the book of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, wherein Gog or Russia's overthrown, is the battle of Armageddon. There's others that believe that the conflict, the final conflict, between the powers of darkness and God in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, where Gog and Magog are finally and lastly and completely overthrown, is the battle of Armageddon. I believe that the Bible is very clear on where and when this war will take place, and that tonight, while we sit in this church, the nations are actually marshaling for Armageddon. Though there's a lot of things that will take place between now and when that war should be fought, but yet the nations of the world are marshaling for it tonight. Now, the determination of God that he'll draw the people to this place, once before, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob ordained and determined that a wicked king by the name of Ahab would die in a certain place in a certain way. And the Bible declares in 2 Kings 22 that he sent forth a lion spirit to draw that king to the place that he had to die. Now the Bible says that there's three unclean spirits like frogs that come out of the mouth of the dragon, the false prophet, and the beast for the particular purpose of drawing the nations of the world to the place where God will deal with them. I'm wondering tonight if those three unclean spirits could not be communism, fascism, and Romanism. Time alone will tell, but God will draw them to Armageddon's battlefield. Therefore, wait for me, saith the Lord Jehovah, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour out upon them mine indignation, even my fierce wrath. Zephaniah 3 and 8. Then in Joel 3, 2 and 3. I will gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will execute judgment upon them there for my people, for my heritage Israel, whom they've scattered among the nations. They've parted my land, cast lots for my people, have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine. Thus the nations that have held the flesh and blood of the people of the covenants, the Jewish people and the church of God, the Bible said will be drawn to Armageddon's battlefield. where God will deal with them on the grounds of how they've treated his program upon this earth. And tonight we're seeing all the shades of gray disappear, folks. The line of demarcation is becoming more clear every day that we live. There is a separation of that which is really of God and that which is just churchy and religious. God is moving things today. There is a shaking on in this world. But David Wilkerson, the man that's going to be here in the crusade, I believe the 29th and the 30th, he says that God gave him a vision here just a bit back, and he has it on cassette tape. I've not heard it, but Pastor Hurston was telling me last evening that in this vision, God showed him that the Jesus movement that we're seeing in the world today is going to sour, and that many of the youth are going to turn back. They've got a little hound Jesus, sir, but it's going to take more than that. It's more than sticking a needle in your arm. It's knowing Christ for real and knowing that every human being that'll live godly will suffer persecution for their living. But in this, he said, he saw the earth as it was shaken. He saw this nation as it was gripped in some kind of a depression. But the whole thing that he saw was God was shaken so that the real would come to the top and that the phony would be shaken out before the eyes of men. Mister, I believe the separation is upon us tonight. One of the most common outstanding errors made by expositors and preachers is to say that Matthew 25:31 is a judgment of individuals instead of the judgment of nations. Now, the individual is saved by grace and never by works. And here in this 25:31 through 46, God is dealing with nations and not the individual, and he's dealing with nations that'll be gathered to the battlefields of Armageddon, where God will deal with them on how they've treated his people. Now, history supplies us with an abundance of evidence that the devil's purpose has always been to destroy the Jewish race. Haman, Hitler, all through the world, there's been this determination to destroy the Jewish race. The reason is quite apparent, because out of them came Jesus. In John 4:22, the Bible says salvation is of the Jew. And it's our Lord's relationship with that race that has brought about the satanic persecution of the people upon this earth. Hated of all nations was what Jesus said about them. In Matthew 24:9, he said, they shall deliver you up and afflict you, shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Hated of all nations. Has there ever been a prophecy more fulfilled and more true than the one our Lord spoke? How significant then is the present bitter worldwide hatred of the Jews across this earth? How significant it is when you begin to look at it in the light of Bible prophecy. In my lifetime, a full one-third of all the Jews on this earth have died in unspeakable agonies for no other reason, mister, than the fact that they are part of the program of God. That war that's on in the Middle East tonight is nothing less than hell trying to bring this book and make a lie out of it. If he could stop, if he could put Israel out of that land, if he could in any wise break the book, then the stars would fall out of heaven. This Bible is the textbook of the universe, the foundation of every society, and if hell could make it a lie, then everything would fall apart. And that war over there tonight is nothing short of hell attempting to bring God's program to a close. Jeremiah said, he that scattered Israel will gather her again. They have been regathered to the mountains of Israel, and God said they'll never be plucked up again. He said it in Amos 9, verses 13 through the end of that chapter. He said, I'll bring them back. I'll establish them in the land, and they shall never, N-E-V-E-R, they shall never be removed from it again. I was in Israel in 1967. Larry and I, we had a cab driver, an Arab, a Christian man, Name was Abu William. We had just came from Cairo, where they were chanting up the war. The war machines were heading for the Sinai. Egypt was wanting war. We were there right at the end of May. They were evacuating, making folks leave so they could fight the war. While we were there, Abu drove us all over the Jordanian side, through the old city, the Red Sea, all the way down to the Jordan. We landed in Amman and come up through. And he was talking about the war. And I said, there will be a war. And I said, when the war is over, Israel will greatly expand their territory. He being an Arab said to me, how can you say that, Pastor? He said, we have as much right. I said, I'm not debating right, sir, but you tell me you're a Christian. He said, I am. I said, then you're neither Arab and you're neither Jew. You're a new creature. I said, the struggle that's in this land is a struggle of this book. And I said, God gave this to Abraham. And he said, we are the children of Abraham. I said, I know that it's not Ishmael, but in Isaac shall the seed be called. And I said, when this war is over, they'll expand this land. He was angry with me. 1968, my wife and I were back in Israel. And I thought I'd look him up to see if he'd perished, but I hadn't. He hadn't. He'd survived the war. And I talked to him and he said, Pastor, you were right. You were right. He said, I see it now. His heart was broken, of course, but he said, that's the way it is. And I said, that's not all he gave him, son. From the river Euphrates to that Mediterranean, God gave it to Abraham. Put the title deed in a vault of heaven, and nobody will take it away from him. I don't care how inequitable it may seem, mister. I didn't write this book. I didn't ordain how it turns out. I'm just telling you they're there tonight. And Armageddon's going to be the final conflict of hell to disrupt them and prevent the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ back to this earth with his church. We're experiencing that close right now. Right now, listen. In Joel 3:12, we see the battlefield itself. Let the nations bestir themselves and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the nations round about. Thus God has revealed the place where the nations will be gathered. The nations of Matthew 25, verse 31-46, where that judgment is to take place. Now the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia states that that valley today, especially that part adjacent to the temple, is crowded with Muslim and Jewish graves. But the same authority declares that proof is wanting that this valley of Jehoshaphat that stretches itself against the walls of our modern Jerusalem is the valley of Joel's prophecy. However, Zechariah seems to make it very plain that this valley, Jehoshaphat, will be the place, mister, where blood shall run like a wine press and will flow to the bridle bit. That's in Revelation 14:20. The God of Israel, speaking with the mouth of Zechariah, said, in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Listen, folks, there are not enough people, not enough arsenals, not enough hydrogen bombs, not enough atomic bombs. God said, if everybody on this earth, every nation gathers herself, he said, I will cut them in pieces. That's what God said in that day. Shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem? He that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. Now in Revelation 12, we read, Satan persecutes the woman Israel. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God, to his throne, the Lord Jesus Christ. She can no longer touch him, so she spews her venom out against the people that brought him forth. Mister, this age is closing. The sun's about to set on it. There's an angel standing somewhere on every corner of this universe, holding back the winds of adversity until the servants of God shall be sealed, mister. The end of this age is upon us tonight, and the nations of the world are gathering themselves for the final conflict of the ages, which this book calls Armageddon. Armageddon. The lament of David was in Psalms 83:5. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they've consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. It would seem beyond the question that therefore that an Armageddon's battlefield, the kings of the earth shall be gathered with their, for their last supreme effort to destroy the nation of Israel and to prevent the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ back to this earth. Now the second coming of Christ is in two aspects. He'll not come back to this earth. When he comes for his church, we'll meet him in the air. And while this earth reels and rocks under the sledgehammer blows of the tribulation, of God's wrath being poured out upon an ungodly, ungainly, Christ-rejecting world, we'll be there at the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. At the end of that 7 years, Daniel's missing week, we, with 10,000s of his saints, Christ shall come back to this earth, and the devil will have an army there in its effort to prevent him from coming. All of this mystery. The present signs of the battle are everywhere. But when considering the signs that betoken the approaching Armageddon, every saint of God needs to realize this mystery. That long ere Armageddon arrives, we're going to be with our Lord. We're going to be with our Lord. The Bible said, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And when our Lord shall descend to Armageddon's battlefield, this Bible said in Zechariah 14:5, that we, the saints of God, shall accompany him there. Oh, mister, I fought in World War II. James and others fought in the Vietnam War. Many of them here in this audience were in World War number two. We were out there. We believed we would win. But we never knew until it was over. But thank God, mister, I'm going to be in that war. And when that horse leaps out of heaven, I'm going to know it's going to win. Thank God, I've read the close of it. This Bible said he'll destroy them with the brightness of his coming. When he comes to Armageddon's battlefield, the church will be with him there. Oh, hallelujah. In glorious battle array, we'll be there with him. Joel, with prophetic eye, looked across the centuries. Oh, he saw what was happening. He said, behold, in those days, saith the prophet, when Armageddon draws nigh, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war, beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. A world in the frenzy and preparation for war. Mister, if that doesn't tell the story today, you read everywhere. There's more missiles, more bombs. They talk about the overkill. Never been a time in the history of the world when men were more in preparation for war while they talked about peace. Never have the arsenals of the world been so crowded with weapons, possibly enough to kill every human being on this earth if God didn't intervene. But yet the Bible said that is the way it's going to be. Joel looked across the vista of the years. He looked down and saw our time. He saw the gush of blood. He saw the agony of men and women and little children on Armageddon's battlefield. He turned his face away from it all, looked to heaven, and in Joel 3:11 cried, thither cause thy mighty ones to come down. What was this, mister, but a cry for the armies of heaven to come and to rescue an earth that's about to have its worst bloodbath. Cause thy mighty ones to come down. After that cometh peace, mister. Arm yourselves, your nation. It'll be your last problem, mister, before he comes. Again, the call to Armageddon is written, said, assemble. In Joel 3:11, assemble yourselves and come all your nations. A vast assemblage of nations into a great godless organization, ostensibly to obtain international peace and security, just preceding Armageddon. Such is a ringing testimony of prophecy. When the people say there's peace and security, then the Bible said it'll come sudden destruction. You know, we are now witnessing man's supreme effort to bring about peace and goodwill on this earth. We're witnessing his greatest effort today through that organization called the United Nations. In a leaflet put out back some years ago, they said United Nations Day is the 24th of October. It marks the anniversary of that day in 1945 on which the United Nations Charter came into force as world law, expressing the mandate of the people of the world that there shall be peace. Not for one moment, mister, would I detract or take away from any good that organization may have done in assisting the backward nations of the world. But any honest to God, honest hearted thinking person will realize that since that day in 1945, there has never been a moment on this earth when there's been peace. There's never been a time when there's more of a drive for war and a buildup of arms. The world has been two armed camps at each other's throats from that day until the present. And the author of that leaflet was wrong when he said it expressed the mandate of the people of the world. He may not know it, but have the people of this earth or more live in constant rebellion to it tonight? Americans, for the most part, would like to see it moved from our shores. It has been a house of sabotage and fifth column as far as I'm concerned. Verily, the depravity of the natural man stands. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their way is in the way of peace. Have they not known? And Paul states the reason. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Romans 15:3-18. Notice the marshaling of the nations. I'd already dealt with Ezekiel 38:39, showing how the Third World War would bring to a close communism and break its back. Depicting the great Russian bear as it moved down against Israel, on the mountains of Israel. Now newspapers, magazines, and radios have their space largely occupied with the arms race that's on in the world today. The whole world stands on its tiptoe listening for the sound of the first bomb, mister. Let me tell you something. All talk disappears when bullets and bombs begin to burst. This world is about the overthrow of God, though, can only be accomplished by an alliance of the free nations of the world. Now, the alliance called the common market of the Treaty of Rome that we have today exactly fits this. It's evident that the ten kings are to emerge from the territory of the old Roman Empire, or the fourth kingdom, that to emerge. My wife and I were in Brussels here just last year, May a year ago, we were in Brussels, Belgium. Dear friend, I walked the streets of that city. You could feel the babbling spirit of it. They told me there were less than 900 Protestants in that city. Many of them imported a city of 1.5 million. It's the headquarters of NATO. It's the headquarters of the common market. I believe it'll be modern Babylon. I've got no doubts at all, mister, that that'll be the place that they'll rise out of it, the man of sin. I don't have any scripture to back that, but I walked its streets. I walked down the streets of that city. I saw streets as beautiful as that mall out yonder, with show windows decorated with beautiful lights and fine lace, and inside there with all kinds of psychedelic lights, with the ladies of the night advertising their wares on the streets like a pair of shoes. Buy a pair of shoes in part of its market. Inside of that shoe was stamped a goat head, and wrapped around it was the number 666. I don't say that as a fact tonight, that it will be, but you can sense the presence of it. But the common market, the Treaty of Rome, is a reality tonight. Those ten kingdoms are already set tonight. They may not think it, but they are. John saw the vision. He said, the ten horns which I saw is the ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. For God has put it in their heart to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God can be fulfilled. Revelation 17, verses 12, 13, and 17. Who can the beast be that these ten kings are going to give their kingdom to? I'll tell you, the Antichrist. They're going to give it to the Antichrist. He will come out of that war. The only victor out of that war. The West will win. Communism will be broken. But the nation's spirits will be broken. Men will be looking for peace everywhere. And the Antichrist will present himself. The proposed organization of the United States of Europe exactly fitted tonight. The threat of the communist Rehu from the north and the east shall come, will force them into one accord. We have it today. as they're beginning to come. Winston Churchill recently, some 20 years ago, made a trip to Denmark. And before a mass thousands of people in Copenhagen, the man made a speech. He said, "The creation of an authoritative, all-power world order is the ultimate end towards we must strive unless some effective world supergovernment can be set up and brought quickly into action. The prospects for peace and human prospects are dark and doubtful." Mr. Churchill has been gone a good while, but he was a believer in the Bible. I asked the question when I read the speech, "Mr. Churchill, as a believer in the Bible, how can you say such a thing?" John saw that world government that was coming into view. He said, "I stood upon the sands of the sea. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 10 heads and 10 heads and 7 horns. 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his head was written a name of blasphemy. All the world wondered after the beast, saying, 'Who is able to make war against the beast?'" There's the world government that men are looking for. I'm going to tell you, mister, out of it, in through it, you come the most terrible times that the human race have ever seen, with Antichrist at the head of the 10 kingdoms, with the communist power broken. He will have reached the zenith of power that the Bible said he would reach. He will have come to his place in history. And when he arrives at that place, then like Nebuchadnezzar, the prototype, he shall build an image to himself and say to every human being on this earth that you'll either bow and worship that beast or perish. Folks, you may find it hard living for God tonight, but if that trumpet sounds and that angel shouts, you'll find a hell like you never dreamed on this earth in just a little while. Yes, sir. He who will set up the image of himself and the descendants of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall rise up in force and refuse to bow their knee, just as their friends in the long ago at Nebuchadnezzar's refused to bow their knee to the image of that beast and were thrown into the fiery furnace. They will rise up in force and refuse to bow their knee. And the first use of that international police force will be there at Jerusalem to bring that Jew in line. They'll rise up. He'll deceive them for the first part of it. Then they'll realize what's happened to them. They'll rise up in force and refuse to bow their knee to the image of the beast. And that international police force will go into action to break their will and to bring them under subjection. Mister, the Bible said there'll be people, every nation under heaven will be there in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Let me tell you, that United Nations flag will fly above every flag on this earth. Oh, glory is in a real battle to maintain the preeminence tonight. There's a lot of people in our own world that would like to see it become second place to a one world government. But in that day, there'll be troops from every nation on earth there in that valley. Mister, I believe there'll be backslidden Pentecostals there. There'll be people that knew God there. There'll be men that walk with the Almighty, but turn their back upon Him and find themselves in an effort to prevent His coming back to this earth. The armies of this world and of Antichrist will be gathered there at Armageddon's battlefield to crush that Jew, to crush Israel. That'll be His final attack against him. And they'll come and to prevent the Lord from coming. But in that moment, Zechariah said, Enoch the 7th from Adam prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints." And Zechariah said, in that day, His feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, which is eastward from Jerusalem. Thank God He'll come down the steeps of the sky. And the Bible said He'd destroy the enemies with the brightness of His coming. Yes, sir. He'll feed the captains and the mighty men of this earth to the buzzards. There He'll bring peace to this sad, sickened world. The peace that men have died for, mothers have prayed for, countless billions have bled for, will never be a reality, mister, until our Lord comes to Armageddon's battlefield. And there, as He comes, the Bible said, out of His mouth will come a two-edged sword. Across His forehead
will be written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He'll be wearing a vesture dipped in blood and will destroy his enemies with the brightness of his coming, with his enemies in the gizzards of the buzzards, and with this earth brought under subjection to the Lord of Glory. Thank God this poor, benighted, beleaguered earth will find the peace that it's wept for, that it's cried for. Thank God, but there'll never be peace until our Lord sets up the peace. There's those that are post-millennial believers. They think the church is going to usher in the millennium and the peace upon this earth. But, mister, there'll never be peace on this earth until my Lord puts his feet on the Mount of Olives. And that glorified church comes back with him. Then the devil will be bound for 1,000 long, wonderful years. And every man will be as a child at 100 years old. The thorns will fall off the roses. The lion will eat straw like an ox. The lamb and the bear will lay down together. Because in that day righteousness shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. But neighbor, listen. If tonight already we can see the nations marshaling for Armageddon, and it seems there'll be a period of 7 years between the upcalling of the saints and the Armageddon war itself. And if we can already see the nations marshaling for that event, how near must his coming be tonight? I said, how near must his coming be tonight? In Matthew 25, Jesus said that half of that church wasn't ready. Half of that church wasn't ready. How about you tonight? He is coming, whether you're ready or not. I want you to bow your head with me tonight. Our Father, I thank thee tonight to save. Don't allow a man, woman, boy, girl leave this audience without Christ tonight. There are backsliders here that are going to be left behind. There are those that once knew God but know him not tonight. I ask you to save tonight.